Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Shift Happens. I'm your host, Alana Burnell, and I'm here today with our co-founder and chief development officer, Sri. Welcome to the podcast, Sri.
Hi, Alana. Thank you.
No, thank you so much for being here. I just want to start off by saying how much, like, outside of just taking time, seeing you in the office every single day, I appreciate working with you because I feel like you have so many great insights and little nuggets that you try to give me every time like we have an interaction. And so I'm really excited today for our guests to get to experience some of your wisdom. So
thank you, Alana. I learned a lot from you as well.
Oh, thank you. So let's give our listeners a little bit of background into, you know, who you are and how you came to Nile. And I have a personal anecdote that I love that you've shared with us multiple times about like how you met Pankaj and how you got involved. So let's start there. How did you get involved with Nile?
Well, you know, I've been in networking for a very long time. From the times when, you know, some of you would not have heard of terminologies like frame relay, X25. These were the early days of internet and networking, which was a lot more exciting and sexier than ChatGPT because it was bringing the world together. That's where I started and, you know, built a lot of products across over the last, you know, 30 years. And what happened in 2018, June, you know, Pankaj texted me, and Pankaj is a leader whom I've known for more than 26 years. Our journey started somewhere around 1995 in a company called Stratacom, which got finally acquired by Cisco, and we built a lot of products together in service provider like CRS, ASR 9000, data center product, enterprise product, etc. He came and said, Sri, I've got an idea. We want to transform the way Wi-Fi network in enterprises are consumed. And it was very intriguing because it's exactly opposite of what we've been doing for the last 30, 40 years, which is building hardware, writing some software on it, and convincing customers how good it is, how many features there is, what kind of technologies you have, et cetera, et cetera. And within 5 minutes, my first question to Pankaj is, are you thinking of doing what Amazon did to servers, which is converting that into compute, and the cloud computing was born perhaps 13 to 15 years ago. And he said, yes, that's exactly what we are trying to do, is to make the consumption of the network as an utility, just like you have your phone, you just make your phone calls, you really don't know who's giving you the service or how the service is being delivered. You go to AWS, you go to GCP, you go to Azure, you swipe a credit card, you get the compute. Pankaj said, yeah, that's exactly what we want to do. We want to turn this into an utility where enterprises, universities, you know, retail, malls, warehouses, et cetera, they just use it just like they have electricity, just like they have gas, just like you have water. Wi-Fi is just there. It's invisible. And that made it intuitive. And I think it was within a minute or two, it just all added up that the timing is now. You know, you have the cloud, you know, you have the storage, you have the apps going to the cloud. This is the last frontier remaining. So this is what happened in 2018. I think it was in June timeframe in a Starbucks in Cupertino.
Sri, did it feel almost like there was this like drive that was coming from the market? Do you feel like that was just personal for how you and Pankaj were feeling at the time? Like it was almost a passion project.
I would say it was both. I think for Pankaj, who was running all of engineering, he had this overwhelming burden of dealing with 10,000 different products, you know, 5,000 different power supplies, the different variations of the products and hardware and the software and the SKUs. And he always had this desire to say, does it have to be that complex? You know, can we not make it easy for the customer? And obviously that made sense, but also from a timing perspective, you know, if you look at the IT organization, it has been going through transformation over the last decade. The servers have been moved to the cloud. The storage is mostly in the cloud. The apps are all being served from the cloud. So the only piece which is kind of missing is the networking piece. And the IT organizations are beginning to evolve. The focus is more on multi-cloud, security, and so on. And there's enough technologies around automation, around machine learning, around LLM, which are all implementable, and we can realize a lot of these things using those technologies. So I think the timing was appropriate to in 2018, 2019 to think about it. And Pankaj's perhaps personal, overwhelming ambition to simplify things, which has been one of his, deep desire, I think it just made sense both ways.
Sri, if we take a step back and look at your career as a whole, you know, you've been able to accomplish a lot of engineering feats. Was it difficult coming into NIAL and having to almost reshape the way that you've been thinking so long when it came to enterprise networking to have almost this completely clean sheet approach?
I would say I haven't accomplished much. I've been lucky. I've had a lot of good people around me who supported me through the journey. And I think it's mostly that. I can't take any credit for everybody else's work. Yes, it was a little bit of overwhelming, like clean sheet of paper. You're changing the way customer perceives how networking is delivered. You're trying to sell it as a service. And when you sell something as a service, what matters is the experience. What matters is things which are performance, the coverage. What matters is who's taking care of the lifecycle management, who's taking care of security vulnerabilities. You know, when all of this is taken care of by somebody else in a constructive way with confidence, and if somebody can trust you with it, just like the cloud providers can be trusted over the last 10 years to protect your apps and workloads, this would easily come to bear. But now, how do you go about it? You can only do it when you build it bottoms up, because you have to focus on the basics of security has to be foundational, because your customers will not trust you otherwise, whether we build the products, way we write a software, or how do you secure the connectivity aspects. Availability has to be paramount. So when we build features in our team, we don't focus on technology. We focus on availability. We focus on coverage. We focus on performance. Because at the end of the day, when you focus on those as your end goals, customers actually consider that as an outcome rather than building a piece of hardware and trying to explain the 30, 40 different types of protocols and technologies and what have you. So yeah, clean sheet of paper makes sense because you have to start retraining your brain to think of outcomes, which the customer cares about, rather than the means to the end, which is all the features and technologies which go to build it, which is very similar to cloud computing, where when you buy a compute, you really don't know whether it is a CPU from NVIDIA or CPU from Intel or CPU from Marvell, et cetera, et cetera. Hope that makes sense.
So if we take a look at the current trend of the other options that are out there for enterprise networking, it seems as though they can only really grow or advance their technologies through acquisition. Now, I know that's very different than the approach that NIAL takes. That's a big part of what your team does. Do you mind speaking to that a little bit?
So, Alana, for us, since we built the company bottoms up, we have to go with the core principles of delivering a service. When you're delivering a service, we got to focus on the experience of the service. If you deliver Wi-Fi or network as a service, the dimensions which measure the experience is the network available all the time? Is the coverage across the entire campus, entire enterprise, entire mall, entire stadium, is it consistent and high quality? Is the download speed high quality? Is the network very secure so that nobody can have attacks? When you focus on those three or four fundamental dimensions of outcome, then you work backwards and see, how do I accomplish that? Let me give you one example. When you talk about availability, we made sure that our network design is highly resilient and redundant, because hardware might fail. That doesn't mean you need to bring your network down. When we say we give you high performance, we have a lot of eyes within our network. We call it sensors, which deeply monitor the availability of the network all the time, the consistency of coverage all the time. And when we see a dip due to environment conditions, we have mechanisms in our software to fine-tune it. So the focus is on those outcomes rather than building, 20 different protocols and convincing customers why this protocol will solve problems. Because at the end of the day, these features and technology is a means to the end. And the end goal actually is the network availability. It's actually the security of the network. It's actually the consistency in coverage. It's actually the performance of the network. So that's the way we've been thinking. And anybody whom we hire in engineering, we go through an orientation which really talks about, we build service, we don't build a product. So we have to retrain our brain that, when you build a product, think of command line interfaces. When you build a product, you're thinking of bells and whistles. So we have to retrain that. That's not the purpose of Nile. The purpose of Nile is to focus on the outcome. Availability and security is foundational in everything we do. When we develop a feature, we focus on how do you maintain the availability of the feature? How do you make sure all those aspects of securities are covered? And when we talk about automation, we make sure we made a promise to ourselves that we will not fix problems manually. Every problem which we know or which we encounter will be automated, or we will use machine learning and AI technologies to solve the problem. So when you put these principles as a guardrail, every engineer can relate to it, and they focus on those outcomes rather than the features, which are usually means to an end. Hopefully that gives some insights into the clean sheet of paper which we had to take, because you're not building a product, you're building a service. Ergo, focus on outcomes. What are those outcomes? Availability, consistency in coverage, performance, security. If those are the four or five outcomes which customers care about, how do we deliver that no matter what else we do within the network?
Sri, these tenets that you actually outlined, I'm actually curious to hear a personal anecdote maybe from you. How have you seen what your team has been working on and building actually come to fruition through a customer and actually impacted their business outcomes?
There are many examples, but if I were to give one close to home, it's a premium university in the Bay Area. The IT leader, we have a professor in that university who's sort of an advisor for us, technical advisor. He was casually mentioning that the quality of the network within their building was just being jittery for many years, and they just did not know what to do with it. And we did tell the professor, hey, we're willing to come and take a look at it. And the IT leader of that department was very collaborative, and he actually gave us the opportunity to make an assessment. And within a day, we made a proposal that we could turn it around in less than half a day. And this is a 600 people capacity building. That's because, our innovation of day zero, day one allows us to do it in a very expeditious way. And once the leader of the department IT agreed, within half a day, three-fourths of a day, we got the network up and running. And the next day, most of the people who came in were shocked at the premium experience. And this is became a story where they started spreading the rumor that you come into this particular department, the quality of the network is very high. And then we approached the IT leader that, could you just advertise our SSID based on our name? And he was kind enough to do it. And at the same time, I was looking for interns. I just interviewed an intern from that, a student from that department. And he actually told me that he was able to finish his online examination without any interruption. And he was very thrilled with the experience of the network connectivity. And he recognized that it was my company. And he was so excited to join our team for an internship. So again, the leader of the IT organization was very complimentary, but then he also recognized that we were focusing on the outcome. We were giving him a financial guarantee of the performance we offer around coverage, availability, security, and so on. And he's been a great friend and advocate for our service for the last 18 months. So that was a very unique opportunity of an advisor bringing his problem in casually and we going in there and turning it around. And actually a student from the department coming in as an intern. And he joined us purely because he thought, we've solved a big problem for that department, which was the experience around the network connectivity.
I love that example because it also shows how a leader in an organization can bring a new technological advancement like Nile into the org in order to directly drive business outcomes. And it even trickled down all the way to his students, which could be synonymous to employees having a better experience, staff having a better experience. So I love that. I think if we double click on that for a second, what advice do you have for individuals at that C-suite level that want to bring that technological advancement into their own organizations, but they don't necessarily feel like they have the support of others around them to drive that.
I can only say how I've done it in my career. I don't know if it'll work for everybody. I've always tried to understand the business outcome required, and I internalize it. And then I try to work backwards to see what technology, what engineering practices can help deliver that outcome. Any innovation which can be mapped to the business outcome for the company or for the customer, it's a lot more easier to not just innovate, but get an immense gratification of the results you deliver, because you can see that solving a true customer problem, a true business outcome. So it's very important to not create something and then go look for a problem it solves. You should always do it the other way around. Understand the outcome which the customer is looking for. Understand the pain point of the customer. Work backwards, step by step, to see how you would solve for that outcome. And of course, that means you're innovating to solve those to get to that outcome. All power to you. Using ML, you're using AI, using automation, you're using soft bots. Those are all means to that. But being able to connect to the outcome has been my method, and it's worked for me every single time, because I always feel good that it really solved a problem rather than just give me a patent or a technical satisfaction.
I feel like part of being a strategic leader is also kind of knowing the right time to bring these offerings into an organization. So I guess using Nile as an example, how did you guys know that people would be ready for a solution like Nile now?
Well, that's one of the things we spent a lot of time in 2018, before we formally jumpstarted the company, because you always have to ask the question, the idea is good, but why now? And why will it solve a customer problem? I think we were very clear that it will solve a customer problem because it's an outcome. But the question of why now, cloud computing has been quite disruptive and fastly being adopted over the last maybe 10, 12 years. And what cloud computing did is it took the hardships of an IT organization to deal with servers, hypervisors, containers, and all the hard work they have to do. You know, somebody else does it for them, and all the developers and the application users need to do is just buy the compute from them. That's a major transformation. Then the IT organization have also gone through a lot of transformation and evolution around apps being served from the cloud. Just imagine 15 years ago, Alana, the apps were maintained by the IT organization. It's a lot of painful work. You have to go through maintenance, and you have to make sure everybody gets their favorite apps and how they're served, etc. All the apps moving to the cloud has allowed for standardization and also very better ease for management. Same thing with the storage. IT organization used to go through a lot of pain of volumes and LUNs and disks and all of those. They don't have to do any of those because it's now stored in the cloud, which is managed by the cloud provider. So if you see a theme here, the IT organization is evolving. The only frontier which has been sort of not touched for the last 40 years has been the networking. So we thought, you know what? There's technology like cloud computing. There's technology like automation and machine learning. Which are implementable and realizable to solve problems. The IT organization has been evolving. So things are all falling in shape. And also as a service over the last 10 years has become more the norm, where people pay for what they consume and what they use. So the business model is well established in the industry. Things like cloud computing, storage, and apps have paved the path of a service model of the IT organization evolving into the next level. So we thought, you know, networking is the only frontier left. So the timing was perfect, and the customers are mentally ready and perhaps, you know, welcoming the concept of as a service, because it actually solves a business problem and helps them improve productivity of the organization so that they can add more value to the core business of their companies.
Not just adding value, right? Not just adding value, but being able to also focus on other strategic initiatives and being able to use that precious overhead to focus on other things. So I'm so excited that you use that analogy, because I feel like that's where a lot of people have their light bulb moment, is when they're able to draw that back to Nile and what makes Nile already a part of this revolution. Sorry to interrupt everyone, but you just listened to part one of my episode with Sri. Come back to the next episode for part two, where you will be able to hear more about his leadership style, some personal anecdotes, and you do not want to miss them. Thank you guys, and we'll see you on the next shift.